Welcome to Donor Audio Interview 4528.
Identify a person who had a significant influence on you and explain the influence.
The biggest influence on me was my father. He really molded me ever since I was a young kid. He taught me how to live, how to love, what to be interested in. And it helped that I was also interested in the same things. He was. But he really molded me is the perfect word, and really close to his own image, and he had a good image. A good cast to make a person with.
What do you aspire to be?
Well, I'm studying genetics. I want to work in genetic medicine when I'm all done.
How would you describe yourself as a human being?
Well, caring and warm, intelligent, altruistic, ethical, I think the two are inseparable. It helps to remember that we're all in this together and to take care of one another, help each other out. Artistic and creative.
Describe the world you come from and how that world shaped who you are.
Well, I grew up with quite a large extended family. My grandparents adopted a lot of kids from all over the world, so we were very multicultural. And they thought it was very important to make sure they retain those cultural identities. So as a extended family, we were all taking part in different ethnic traditions and things like that. And it really just kind of, we lived as sort of a global village, I guess. It just kind of really helped us understand and tolerate, and it just helped us, it helped shape our view of the world and towards the rest of humanity.
Does any specific attribute, quality, or skill distinguish you from everyone else? How did you develop this attribute?
Well, I'm a classically trained musician. Since I was a kid, I mainly played brass and studied that, but recently I've decided to take up and learn piano. And that's not to say I'm the best trumpet player or pianist around, but I'm pretty good, and I love to do it. I developed it just through practice. When I started playing music and learning music, I really did enjoy it and just stuck with it every day.
What do you think are the most admirable qualities a person can have, and why?
I think our greatest quality is intelligence and reason. It's really what separates us from other living things. I think it's very important that we use our intelligence and our rationale to navigate our way through life. I think it's also very important that a person is caring.
What quality do you like best in yourself, and what do you like least?
Best, I suppose I like my musical ability, and I'm a very good student, so that helps, I think. Least, I'm kind of too much of a people pleaser at times. I can be kind of a pushover, and I mean mostly that's good, but sometimes it does lead to being taken advantage of, and I guess I like that least about myself.
What quality would you like to see flourish, and which would you like to see wither?
Well, the older I get, I feel like I'm almost completely the same person I was when I was a kid, generally, except that I'm more wise, and we just get wiser with age, more in tune with the ways of the world and why things are the way they are, why people act the way they act. So I want to continue to get wise. I don't think you can ever be too wise. To see wither, which quality would I like to see wither? I guess, again, is my, well, I mean, I wouldn't want to see the whole people-pleasing wither, actually, but maybe just the bad parts of it, just when I'm setting myself up to be taken advantage of.
What kind of values did your parents instill in you that you would like to pass on to your own children?
You know, the main thing my parents passed on to me is just to recognize what makes you content and to go out and get it. It's important that we live, you know, we live ethically and care about other people, but we've got to be happy ourselves too. I would like to tell my children not to dally, you know, as they're, you know, from like teenage years and on, when they're really becoming the people they're going to be. I don't want them to waste any time.
Tell me how you like to spend time with your family.
Well, we like to hang out outside a lot, go to the park and grill, take bike rides or walks. A lot of the younger cousins and my younger siblings are really into video games, and like I really enjoy playing like Rock Band and Guitar Hero with them. I think it's a lot of fun. Yeah, games outside, sports, movies and TV, playing music together. There's a lot of musicians in my family too. Yeah, we just like to just hang out and geek out together.
Tell me about the most cherished present you ever received for your birthday or holiday, and tell me why this gift was so special.
When I was in junior high, I had a sort of a pen pal relationship with a celebrity, with an author. And we got, I mean, we never actually met, but we got pretty close. And for my birthday one year, he sent me his collection of books. You know, they were signed and had little notes in it, but mainly it was a very long letter giving me advice, you know, wishing me well for my birthday, but giving me advice on writing and music, and it was just, it was really, really special to me.
Tell me about some activities you enjoyed in your childhood.
Again, playing music. I was in the bands, all the school bands. Played baseball for a long time. I did track events in high school. I was a pole vaulter and a high jumper.
What is your favorite book? What types of books do you enjoy?
Well, my favorite genres are sci-fi and fantasy. When I have time to read for entertainment, lately it's all textbooks. I think my favorite book is a book by C.S. Lewis called Perelandra. It's part of his science fiction series about a man who journeys to other planets and meets their inhabitants. And in this one, Perelandra is the name the inhabitants of Venus give their planet. And it's presented as a younger Earth, sort of, and he meets the woman who's sort of in an Eve role, who has lost her Adam. And the book is a lot of existential discussion and things like that. And I always wondered, like, what would I tell Eve, knowing what I know now? What would I ask Eve? Things like that.
What is your favorite word and why?
Well, I guess my favorite word is debacle. It sounds funny. I use it whenever I can to describe unfortunate circumstances, and I just say it, and it helps me laugh about the circumstances. If it's okay to laugh about it, just kind of make light of it.
What was the last book you read, movie you saw, or sporting event you attended?
I'm currently reading it. It's called A Feast for Crows. It's a fantasy novel by George R.R. Martin. He's pretty big in the world. They just did the first book of the series on HBO called Game of Thrones, and it's It's pretty popular, and it's a good time. The last movie I saw was, it's in the theaters now, it's called 50-50. It's sort of a lighthearted look at discovering your friend has cancer and the problems he has and how you deal with it. The last sporting event I attended was my little brother's football game. They won.
What do you do for fun? What are your hobbies?
I like to fiddle with computers a lot. I like to soup them up and build them. Practice piano every day. Play video games every once in a while. Other than that, most of my free time is spent studying. My hobbies, yeah, studying and music.
Has anyone ever told you that you resemble a particular celebrity?
Yeah, for a while. This guy is actually in 50-50, which I just saw. His name is Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He was in Inception, and I don't know, he's the kid from Third Rock from the Sun, if you guys remember that. He was in a movie when he was a kid called A River Runs Through It, and he plays the young Norman character, and I was a little bit younger than him when it came out, but when it was out, we watched it in my class, and at that age, I mean, that's exactly what I looked like, him in that movie. It's, you know, there's differences now, but I've been hearing that since I was a kid.
Evaluate a significant experience, achievement, risk you have taken, or ethical dilemma you have faced, and its impact on you.
Well, an achievement I'm proud of, I've spent the last couple years serving as like a student member of an advisory committee for a school as they're constructing a new science program. And so I sort of provided the student view of what they should have as they, you know, as they come up with course offerings and, you know, even as much as building their new science building. And it was important to me that, you know, I had a part in setting up how students are going to learn and succeed at this institution in a program that's similar to what I'm studying. So I think I did well, and I hope it makes a difference.
Choose a prominent person, living, deceased, or fictional, whom you would like to interview and explain why.
I would like to interview Charles Darwin. You know, ask him some of the, you know, kind of elaborate how he came up with his theory, you know, what were some of his inspirations, and even pick his brain for, you know, just other things, other little bits, you know, from the time, and, you know, wonder about any other ideas he had about anything crazy or controversial at the during the time period.
First experiences can be defining. Cite a first experience that you have had and explain its impact on you.
A pretty recent one. I had my first piano recital a few months ago, and I've only been playing for a couple of years. And it's really different, you know, being a member of a band and playing on stage, and I even did some theater, and that's a little different too, but still being part of a group on stage. Piano recital, I was up there all by myself, and in dead silence in front of hundreds of people, with no sound except my playing. So it was really a different experience, a different pressure to perform well.
Recall an occasion when you took a risk that you now know was the right thing to do.
About 3 years ago, I quit my job and started to go to school. I've had this job, you know, since during high school. I was working for a family friend who was a journalist, and I always knew that science was my strength, and I knew my career would be in science, but right out of high school, I was offered a job, you know, it was good money, and I was able to spend my 20s just working and having fun, focusing on socializing and that. But I never had an interest in studying journalism. I always knew it was going to be science. The job, it wasn't, you know, I didn't have an uncomfortable life. It was very well, but it was, I knew it was a dead end for me. So I got a little older, I did it, and saved money, and then just kind of decided one fall, you know what, it's time, I'm going to go to school full time, and really realize what I felt was my true potential. And, it was a big risk, and, I mean, even before I took it, I knew it was the right thing to do. And it's been working out pretty well for me.
Is there a work of art, piece of music, scientific phenomenon, mathematic theory, or piece of literature that has surprised or unsettled or challenged you, and in what way?
Well, there's several pieces of music. I guess I could just say a certain composer. His name is Nobuo Uematsu. He's a Japanese contemporary composer. And he's pretty commercial. I mean, he makes soundtracks and songs for a lot of pop culture things, you know, movies and shows, games, commercials. But just the way he can draw emotion out of me with nothing, you know, no words, yet puts all these ideas in my head, the whole spectrum from despair to rage, I kind of idolize him as a musician. As I study music, that's one of the things I try and figure out, try and work on, is how to convey emotion, you know, between different people, between my different friends, who are of different dispositions. I'll make something and ask how it makes him feel. So his skill has really challenged me.
Have you experienced a moment of epiphany, as if your eyes were opened to something you were previously blind to? Describe this moment and your perception about it.
When I was a young adult, I was in a pretty serious accident, and I was actually in a coma for about a day. Spent another couple of days in the hospital and ended up being, you know, just fine, just kind of banged up. But being a young person, I never really thought just how close death is for all of us. It's right there for everybody. And to have an accident where, you know, it still baffles me. The way it happened, I feel like I should be dead. But coming out of that, it really showed me how close the end is for all of us, and really made me realize that all of our time is borrowed, but especially I especially felt it then. And so coming out of that, I was really determined to get what I want in life, experience everything I wanted to, and make sure I wasn't wasting anyone's time or efforts by coming back from it.
Of everything in the world, what would you like to be doing right now?
I'd like to be on the beach at the ocean. I haven't seen the ocean in a really long time, and I miss it.
Where would you like to be the most?
Again, the ocean I was referring to in the last question is in the Philippines. We've got some family there, and it's the tropical paradise. You know, lots of sun, hot weather, excellent food, and wonderful people.
Who would you prefer to be with at this moment?
I wish I was with my father, just hanging out. I wish I didn't have things to do later today. I wish he wasn't working. I'd love to just be able to sit and eat, or, you know, have a beer with him, just talk.
What is your approach to life?
Again, is just to make yourself content. Get what you want. Don't distract yourself with too many unnecessary things. Just please yourself and please your loved ones. Make sure everyone make sure everyone in your life is free from trouble, you know, as best you can. And just get what you want, get what's important for you, get what's important for the people you love.
What was the most difficult time in your life? How did you overcome these difficulties? How did your perspective on life change as a result of the difficulty?
I guess it was when my grandfather died. He had such a large influence on so many people, and he was really a very true patriarch. You know, he was the king of the family. He helped everybody out, and I mean, I've got a very large family. When he died, there was so much sorrow. So many people were going to miss him, and there was a lot that he and we felt he left kind of unaccomplished. He was kind of in the middle of a ton of different things. We overcame the sorrow just by, you know, just letting it all out with each other, reminiscing, setting his affairs and finishing things that we knew he would like finished.
Describe your most rewarding experience.
I've spent a lot of summers volunteering at an orphanage in the Philippines that my family has ties to. It was just, very spiritually rewarding, helping the kids, so many kids. A lot of people just don't have anything, and I think we look at charity in the wrong way. You know, a lot of people think it's good to, you know, to donate time or money, but don't necessarily think it's bad if people don't. I think, I mean, and living in this country where most of us are pretty fortunate, I would say it is wrong to not help when you can. When your alternative is to, you know, waste your money and waste your time. It shouldn't make a difference if the ones in need are our neighbors right in front of our face, and it's a very personal connection, or if they're, you know, 10,000 miles away, and that we're all, I mean, we're really just one of millions who are in a position to help. I just try and not fall into the out of sight, out of mind mentality, and I think it's our duty to help others.
Did you have a favorite board game when you were a kid?
Yeah, I guess it was Mousetrap, but I never really played the game like it was supposed to be played. I usually just set up the mousetrap and set it off over and over again until that got me bored.
Who is your favorite actor?
I got a couple. I really like Johnny Depp, Leonardo DiCaprio, and especially Daniel Day-Lewis. I think for the most part they really choose excellent roles and excellent movies, and when they're performing, they just kill it. They always steal the show.
What is your favorite dinner?
I guess it's called a molcajete. It's a Mexican dish. It's those big stone bowls that are kind of carved in the shapes of animals. You load it up with meats and vegetables and throw the whole thing in the oven, and it's just very delicious.
What is the craziest thing you have ever done?
Well, when we were young teens, we used to go cliff jumping into a river, and I guess the largest jump we did was probably 60 or 70 feet off the cliff into the river, and I mean, it just looking back on it, really stupid thing to do. I mean, we did have local guides who showed us the safe places to jump. But that high, I mean, you can look at it from the other side of the river and look at how big a person is standing at the top or how, I mean, how small the person standing at the top is compared to the drop, and you just think, no way, like, don't do it. But it was quite a rush to do it. It's high enough that, like, I don't know, it's kind of hard to describe. You, when you're in the air, everything kind of goes silent. You just hear this faint as the wind rushes past your ears, and even though it's water, it hurts when you hit the surface. Usually just one time was all we could bear to do on any trip out.
What is the first thing you do in the morning?
The first thing I do in the morning is I get up and walk the dog. Take care of him first. He's usually the one that wakes me up. Then I make myself a coffee.
What is something you wish you could do, but you can't?
Well, I wish I could fly. I have dreams of flying all the time. Even lucid ones, where you know you're dreaming and you kind of control which way your dream goes. With limitless possibility in a subconscious world, all I still want to do is just fly around the sky, look at the stars and the lights.
You mentioned you are majoring in genetics. When did you first become interested in this field?
Well, I guess I first became interested in it as a high school student, taking basic biology and learning the details about it for the first time. As high school went on and then I worked as an adult and then getting back into school, I always just kind of paid attention to the advancements in the field. It just kind of struck me as the next frontier for scientific development that really interested me. I just felt it was the next hot topic, and I wanted to be a part of it.
What are your plans upon graduation?
Well, I know I'd like to work for at least a couple years right away. I'll probably end up in postgraduate studies, but right away I want to get into the industry. I would love to work for a genomics firm. There's not a whole lot going on in the area, so maybe like biopharmaceutical production or research.
If you could choose any career, what would you be?
Again, what I aspire to be, I want to be a gene therapist.
If you could take a snapshot of your life 10 years from now, what would you be doing?
Yeah, working. I'd hope to have a couple of kids by that time. Yeah, just raising my family.
Tell me what you would consider a romantic evening.
Well, I've always been a sucker for picnics, I guess. I would, if I was going out on a date for the first time, I would take her to a rose garden or maybe a sculpture garden, something like that. Have our picnic there, walk through it and talk. Then, either, I don't know, the club or another restaurant for dessert as the evening came on.
What qualities do you look for in a potential mate?
I guess most of all I look for warmth. It's really important to me to feel cared for. I want to reciprocate and it feels better to me when I think I really do owe somebody. Not like owe as in like a debt, but I guess, how do I explain it? That I know they'd be checking for me, so I want to do the same. So warmth, intelligence, and beauty as well.
What is the nicest thing you could do for your significant other?
I always try and keep a mental list of, things they just kind of offhandedly mention they need or would like done but don't have time. I try and keep a list going and periodically surprise them with these things. And if I got nothing on the list, I mean, flowers are always great, I feel. And I could always come up with something else on my own. A nice gift.
Why did you decide to participate in this donor program?
I've actually got a friend who, she is in a same-sex relationship. And both of them had trouble getting pregnant. And it was that stage in their life together that they wanted to have kids. And so I was actually considered as a donor by them, among their other friends and colleagues and such. I wasn't actually chosen, but just being a part of, just being considered was a real honor, and knowing someone who is in the situation where they're looking for a donor because they're having trouble themselves. And she's a really close friend, so just being a part of their process really, really got to me that it's important to help people in this way.
Is there a message you would like to add for recipients or offspring listening to this interview?
Well, to the recipients or offspring, I just want you to know that I'm honored to be a part of your life, and I'm very, very glad I was able to help.
This concludes Donor Audio Interview 4528.